Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Namaste Giriraja.
Namaste Giriraja.
Shri Govardhana Namine.
Shri Govardhana Namine.
Ashesha Klesha Nashaya.
Ashesha Klesha Nashaya.
Paramananda Daine.
Paramananda Daine.
Hare Krishna, I want to affectionately welcome you in the name of the bathing Burijan Prabhu. He will come any moment. The Govardhan Retreat Center, Vrindavan Vinod, and this stuff. It is a great, great pleasure, if not honor for us, to welcome all of you for the Govardhan Retreat 2025. I can see a few well-known faces, that is, devotees who have come again and again and again. And I see also new faces. And It is my honor, I've been asked to tune you in so that we can make sure that you spend this time in the best way possible. But let me first find out, am I loud enough or should we increase the volume? I'm especially asking those in the back a little up. Oh, I see our Sundar Gopal there, Hare Krishna. So Rakeshji, could you be so kind to make me a little louder? See, yeah, this is much, much better. Namo, please join me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paskatyade Sadarine Jai Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadaita Garada Chivasani Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. See, Bhurijam Babu has arrived much faster than it's humanly possible. And also, Hare Krishna, welcome, Bhurijam Babu. And Hare Krishna Jagatarini Mataji, welcome, welcome, welcome. Yes. Very, very good to see all of you, and yes, it is a good attendance. My dear devotees, I will start now to try to give you a good frame of mind that might help you to use your time in the most efficient way. I think it is no secret that we are moving into the winter of Vrindavan. It will be a little cool in the morning and in the evening, and we will surely be moving a little bit out of our comfort zone. So whenever we are out of our comfort zone, it is important for us to have a guiding understanding, a guiding principle, something that helps us to stay on the course. My dear devotees, my dear friends and skeptics also, or those who come for the first time, in some ways, this visit could well be the most impactful thing you have ever undertaken in your life. It could be a time where lasting impressions are created, impressions that will stay with you and guide you in the upcoming time. Now, right in the beginning, we have to say that in our movement, retreats are something new that quickly spreads. But I would say that since we are doing this already, since 25 years, I understood, we have discovered a few principles which may be new, but which are essential in order to help you navigate your way through this. See, this retreat technically is very much different from lectures, from a festival where different seminars are offered. A retreat is actually a time where you deliberately and purposefully remove yourself from the ordinary or the customary or habitual life which you live. And you do this for the sole purpose to come closer to Krishna and to find out your next steps which you might undertake in his direction. So this is what a retreat looks like. In old times, to make a pilgrimage to a place which was totally spiritual was something that was contemplated and planned much ahead of the time. When people in old times would go on sacred pilgrimage, like for instance to Badrinath or even to Vrindavan, the whole village would assemble around them because it was understood maybe the person will not come back. Maybe that is such a profound journey that it is the last journey he undertakes, no? Nowadays, we don't have the time to prepare ourselves. In old times, pilgrims would travel for a long, long time, months sometimes, half a year in other times, in order to reach the sacred spot and go onto a retreat. Nowadays, we get into our airline. Mostly we arrive with jet lag at the place, then we jump into the taxi, and then from Delhi it takes perhaps 3.5 hours, or if you have a crazy bridge Brassi driver, 2 hours, and then you crazy, and I'm saying it as a compliment, a very fast driving person, and you are here, and then you go to the programs which are offered, and before you know, because you were in jet lag and in the middle you suffered from diarrhea, before you know, it's over. And when you ask yourself what happened really, it was nice. There was something about Krishna in the which was discussed about, but perhaps lasting impressions were not created because you were not able to take the time to prepare yourself properly, to exit your normal space properly, and to open your heart for the new impressions in a proper way. I would like to start my tune-in session by giving you a little overview how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan. the great universal teacher who showed by his life that we all were born out of ecstasy and we will reach the Lord by ecstasy. No. He tried three times after his third attempt to go to Vrindavan had failed. He felt despondent. His eagerness grew by the day. And one day he went into the Puri temple and there he heard a song about Vrindavan. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan. Everyone. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan. A song like that. I do not know which particular song he listened to. When he came back to the Gambira, he felt so much separation from Vrindavan that he called Sarvabhauma and Nrisinghananda and told them, get me a map. I must go to Vrindavan now. Maps at that time were not an easy thing, and there was certainly no Google Maps available. The only person who had maps, can you imagine who it was? The king. He needed it for his campaigns, military and otherwise. So in the next morning, Sarvabhauma went to Maharaj Prataparudra and said with a meaningful glance in his eyes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to have a map that helps him to reach Vrindavan. When Prataparudra, who loved Mahaprabhu so much, heard that the Lord would go on pilgrimage, he fainted and it took a long time for him to awake. Then he told, he got a map and he gave it to a soldier. Research has dug out his name. His name is Anta Vijaya. And the soldier went and brought the map to go to Vrindavan to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He reached during the day. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took, of course, a rest in the night. Very late, he would chant in his Gambira room. And he would be in the pangs of separation. But today, or that day, another mood came. The anticipation. Now I will reach Vrindavan. In the morning, Gadadhar Pandit came by. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in great eagerness, welcomed him and said, I had a dream. What was that dream? In my dream, I suddenly saw Krishna in the Nikunja groves of Vrindavan, some Kunjavan. He was together with Radharani and surrounded by the Sakhi. He looked as beautiful as a blackish cloud with a lightning, a yellow lightning inside. And he was casting sidelong glances full of love and affection at Srimati Radharani and the Sakhis. In this way, by the sidelong glances, he fired arrows that went right into the hearts of all the gopis. Gadadha, I beg you, give me the blessing to go to Vrindavan, the land of Radha and Krishna. So Gadadha responded, O Mahabhava Rasamurti. Wrong. O Mahabhava Rasaraj Murti. Let us say this. O Mahabhava.
O Mahabhava.
Rasaraja Murti. Surely you will go and reach Vrindavan. That is certain. When Gadadha came back from that eventful meeting, devotees asked him, what did the Lord say? Is he really going? Yes, said Gadadha. He will leave Puri and he will actually go to Vrindavan and he will reach. Now the devotees knew beyond all doubts the Lord would go, and they also knew another thing. They couldn't allow the Lord to go alone. Could you imagine why the Lord was not allowed by his devotees to go alone? Yes, I hear it in the atmosphere. It is said that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstasy increased when he only thought of Vrindavan. But when he actually went to Vrindavan, it increased a thousandfold. And that meant he couldn't carry anything. He would just throw up his arms and sing his song. Krishna, 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 hey, please join me. Krishna, 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 hey. This way he would manifest the ecstasies of Srimati Radharani, the feelings of Radha when she thought about Krishna and felt separated. So Balabhadra Bhattacharya was chosen, and he needed to do three things on the journey. He organized all the sabjis and food by begging. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strict. Balabhadra had to beg always for one day's supplies, not two, three, four, because a sannyasi should not hoard anything in the old time. Balabhadra further carried an extra set of cloth. And the only possession of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what do you think was his only possession next to the cloth? Japamala, that is not entirely correct, as we will hear in a moment. Yes, it was a water pot. Balabhadra needed to carry his only possession. And also a loincloth, kopin. And for the person who said a japamala, Mahaprabhu didn't use a japamala. He had a knotted string, a string with 108 knots in it for counting. And he chanted and danced and in ecstasy all the way. My dear devotees, Mahaprabhu was prepared to go to Vrindavan. He was in the mood of going to Vrindavan. Are you? There are four distinct qualities which we can extract from this little description which I heard from Indra Dumna Maharaj, and I did some reading here and there. The first is, he made a connection with Vrindavan, an inner connection with Vrindavan, which happened when he heard the song. He thought, I must go to Vrindavan. It was the only thought in his mind. The second is, and that will be also necessary, he noted he was separated from Vrindavan. He noted V-yoga, it's called. Yoga is making the mental connection. V-yoga means the opposite, thinking one is separated. And then came the third thing. He saw Krishna in a dream. All this erupted in one thought only. I must go to Vrindavan. Eagerness. So here are some steps for you to take, for me to take, for everyone to take who wants to come closer. You must first make a connection to Krishna. That will be done in the lectures which we will hear. Bhujam Prabhu is very well equipped. Our Mataji, the mother of the retreat, is well equipped. So we will hear them very, very thoughtfully, very eagerly, so that we can make a connection that we are not here only with our bodies, but that we are really making the connection to Radha and Krishna in our minds. We will hear Shravanam, Shravanam, Shravanam. V-yoga, as you listen more and more and more, you will have to ask a few questions. Where am I in regards to these subjects? Where am I in relationship to Radha and Krishna? What is my present state? And you will find out in a natural way that there is some distance still that needs to be bridged over. But as you are hearing and feeling about Krishna, feeling separation from him, something will happen that is the retreat factor. You will have moments where you feel very, very close to Krishna. These are moments in prayer. These are moments when Bhujam Prabhu will ask you to do something very ecstatic in the evening. These are moments where you will perhaps, as you are sleeping, recollecting some things you heard in your dreams. It's Sambhoga. But my dear devotees, the best, this should all, let me say it like this, accumulate or mount up to a feeling of looking for Krishna. The Chaitanya Charitamrita tells us how a person is in the when he goes to the holy dham. Those who who can chant, I will chant very slowly. Tava smiti vadan vacha. Tavaiva manasa vidan. Tatstanam ashritastanva, stanam ashritastanva, morate sharanagata. This is how someone who goes to the holy place engages body, mind, and his words. His body is fully surrendered as he takes shelter at the holy place where Krishna as his pastimes. His speech is surrendered. He says, "My Lord, I am yours." Yeah, this was a good preparation. Now, also the shy ones, please join us. My Lord, I'm yours.
I am yours.
Understanding this with his mind, he enjoys spiritual bliss. Let me now finish this by giving you a little insight how a retreat works on the consciousness of the, I hope this is the right word, the retreatee, the one who goes on retreat. Mukunda, you are a native English speaker. Retreatee, have you ever heard such a thing? Not yet. We can also create language, why not? The retreat goer, no? First, my dear devotees, he leaves behind what he ordinarily does and so on. My recommendation for you is throw your mobile telephone on the garbage pile. If you're not yet so able to do this, then have minimal. Actually, I said that in a joking way, but my jokes never work. You should be lying on the ground and holding your sides, but so I will stop joking. They don't work. Minimize distraction. Also, in your many conversations that are highly recommended, try to not talk bad about others, about affairs of the world, whatever the Donald does and says may not be so consequential, and so on. Try to minimize distraction. Then the second is do something positively. Go into the waiting room of Krishna. That means be open for all the hints, all the inspirations, all the clues that Krishna gives you. As you are openly and waiting for Krishna to show you, fill this gap with Shravana and Kirtan. See, you stop doing something, but it cannot be expected that you immediately have transcendental experiences so quickly on the first night, no? But you aspire for a more surrendered life. And in the gap between what is no longer and what is not yet, in the gap between what is no longer and what is not yet, you fill Shravana and Kirtanam, and so on. My dear devotees, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says to us in the Sanmodana Bhashya on the fifth verse of Shikshastakam, it is not within the jiva's control or nature even to intensify and deepen his desire to serve Krishna's lotus feet. Wow! No matter what we try, it will be very difficult, even if we use all the tricks which self-improvement movements and psychology offer us, to deepen and create a total 100% determination to serve Krishna's lotus feet. The truth is, says Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that only by surrendering to the will and mercy of Krishna can one actually deepen his serving mood or Krishna consciousness. So we have to open ourselves, surrender to the will of Krishna. And in retreat, what we do is we stop doing what we usually do, because then we only get what we usually get. Yes, definition of craziness is to get that I hope to get something new by doing the same things. I have to change this. And we stop doing or make some good changes, and then we open ourselves to the will and mercy of Krishna. This retreat we will introduce. Now, Bhujan Prabhu and myself have discussed a new method which you can learn, but this method to open your consciousness and to increase your receptivity to the will of Krishna will be explained only in the hall, which is a little bit warmer. Hare Krishna. I will close my comments now. Please, my dear devotees, be willing to go on retreat. Be willing to make a distance to your ordinary thoughts, your ordinary mindset, your ordinary speech. Be willing to open yourself up for the grace of Krishna, which flows in this Tareti, or this valley of Giriraj, very, very freely. We are in the valley of Giriraj. Technically, we sit on his lap. He's still here, you know. He's sunken in the earth, but he's here. He's also here. He covers a much broader area than what we will visit. And I wish you all the best. I know that all of us are and also the managers are totally tuned in to take care of your every, every wish. We can't do that, you know. Make it as comfortable and as spiritually rewarding as possible. But please do your part. Minimize distraction and maximize your Shravanam and Kirtanam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. And we will now turn to our Bhujan Prabhu and our Jagatarini Mataji. And at the end of their presentation, we will all offer our flowers to this Giriraj and pray to him for empowerment. Hare Krishna, I see Govardhan Gopal, Hari Bol, and so many others. Hare Krishna.
Om Krishna Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya, Abhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vrindavan Swami Pranami, Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Acharya, Nivasaya Srisanya Vandi. Patitanam Papinego by Sulegam. I would like to, of course, welcome everyone. And I would like to begin by doing something quite contrary against what we should be doing. And that is, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam, Yomam Bhakti Prasiti Taraham Bhakti Parita. He wants us to offer leaves to him and fruit and flowers, but with devotion. So Jagatrini Mataji has made this wonderful leaf, but instead of offering it to Krishna, she's going to offer it to you. Surprises. But I also want, like, someone who's near a harmonium maybe to play along with it. But you have to, you know how to read so nicely. I knew you knew. This is very much what Maharaj was talking about how to approach things
during the retreat, and you don't know where, you don't know exactly where, you don't. I knew you were going to interrupt me, so I did know what was going to happen next. We don't know how Krishna's mercy is going to come to us.
One has to be an advanced devotee to understand how Krishna's direction is going on.
This is Srila Prabhupada speaking, excuse me. Go ahead.
Don't think that things are taking place automatically. Therefore, even in adverse condition, a devotee does not see that this thing is happening without direction of Krishna. Even if he is in an adverse condition, a devotee does not see or feel any pain, because he knows that this adverse condition is also under direction of Krishna. So I am fully surrendered. Why shall I take this as not mercy? Everywhere there is Krishna's hand, he is there, but we cannot see. Srila Prabhupada.
It's beautiful, yes. I think most of the leaves here in Vrindavan have special messages for us attached to them. Because Vrindavan is such an extraordinary place. Srila Prabhupada actually said, living in Vrindavan, as Maharaj said, is like living in the lap of Krishna. And Srila Raghunath Das Goswami has explained that Vrindavan is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. It is no different from Srimati Radharani. And Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati, who Mahaprabhu spent some time with, his name before was Gopal, in Srirangam in South India, he was a scholarly Sri Vaishnava. When in the association of Mahaprabhu, his heart was completely captivated, and he became a strong follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and came to Vrindavan. And he was so exalted. He saw in Vrindavan, he saw the real Vrindavan. He saw the real Vrindavan as he looked at the trees, the water, the land, and everything, the animals. And he wrote some verses about what he saw. I would like to read some of these, which describe Vrindavan. The trees and creepers of Vrindavan are stunned by the nectarian rays of the spiritual moon. The forest of Vrindavan is filled with dancing and sweet singing of parrots, cuckoos, and peacocks. Now everyone close your eyes and try to see this with your through your hearing, through your ears, and see if you can visualize what Prabodhananda Saraswati is describing. Intoxicated humming bees fly through the groves of Vrindavan. The rivers and lakes of Vrindavan flood the entire abode with sweet nectar. Just meditate on that Vrindavan. When will I fully give up all activities pertaining to my body? When will I meditate and worship the most blissful personalities within the core of my heart? And when will I constantly worship the lotus feet of Sri Radha with love while residing anywhere within Vrindavan as a possessionless beggar? And in between the prayers, you can offer your own prayer. When will my heart become absorbed in the topmost mellows of ecstatic love without being slightly distracted from the transcendental qualities of Vrindavan? When will my mind plunge into the unlimited ocean of the sweetness of the golden complexion Sri Radha's form and pastimes, and into the ocean consisting of her youthfulness and beauty, which capture the heart of the dark complexion Sri Krishna? You can offer a prayer now and then keep your eyes closed. I pray that Sri Vrindavan, which is the source of unlimited mercy, unlimited prowess and power, and the source of transcendental qualities, I pray that Sri Vrindavan will certainly give me shelter at her lotus feet without considering my faults or good qualities. By the order of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, some of the trees of Vrindavan touch the ground with their branches, which are bending under the burden of flowers. Those innumerable trees appear like umbrellas. The flowers and buds of some of the trees can be reached by the hands, while some are unreachable, being situated high in the branches. May that Sri Vrindavan, which is decorated with such most fortunate trees, bestow auspiciousness on me. Some of the trees in Vrindavan are more effulgent than the strong rays of the midday sun. The trees are all Kalpavriksha Desirephana trees. Some of the trees are more effulgent than millions of Kalpavagni fires which burn at the time of annihilation. Some of the trees are brightly shining like the cooling rays of millions of moons. And some of those trees look most enchanting because they spread the charming rays emanating from their flowers. Please offer a prayer. We offer prayers to bring our mind in harmony with the land of Vrindavan, or long to be in that harmony to get the mercy of the holy dust of Vrindavan. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati continues to speak about the trees of Vrindavan. Some of them shine like innumerable bolts of lightning. Some of them fill all directions with their transcendental, crystal clear, glistening rays. Some of the trees of Vrindavan are decorated with tender leaves and buds that are more effulgent than coral. Some of those trees are the color of molten gold, and some of them are brighter than a diamond. Some of the trees are as beautiful as lilies. Some of them are as effulgent as blue lotus flowers. Some of the trees are white. Some of them are red. Some of them look green like emeralds. And some are brightly shining. Some of them are as enchanting as beautiful roses. And some of them look beautiful like red China roses. In this way, the entire land of Vrindavan is filled with indescribable waves of the various colors and beauty of the transcendental trees, which are intensely blissful. They are eternal and full of knowledge. Vrindavan is also filled with many wonderful flowers whose colors and fragrance bewilder the mind. May such land of Vrindavan eternally appear in my heart. Just meditate on the various transcendental trees in the forest of Vrindavan. Those trees are filled with various wonderful leaves, wonderful twigs, flowers, and branches. They are certainly the source of oceans of transcendental nectar. They are decorated with an unlimited ecstatic emotion, and they are filled with unlimited special, sweet, juicy fruits. The land of Vrindavan is decorated with trees and creepers that are overwhelmed with unlimited love for Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. It is inhabited by many birds and many beasts that are overcome with the mellows of ecstatic love for the lotus feet of the divine young couple. I meditate on that Vrindavan, which is decorated with many wonderful fresh groves and extraordinarily sweet qualities. Please offer your prayer. I meditate on that Vrindavan, which is most effulgent, which is more glorious and sweet than the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, which smashes to pieces the pride of all kinds of liberation. I meditate on that Vrindavan, which is deeply engrossed in transcendental pastimes. I meditate on that Vrindavan whose beauty has supremely increased by the effulgence of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, who resemble gold and blue sapphires. Please offer your prayer. And the final verse that we will read this evening. Cross over the temporary, miserable, material world and become familiar with the greatly extensive Brahman effulgence. And beyond this effulgence lies the supreme forest called Sri Vrindavan, which is the abode of the topmost ecstasies of rasa and which is most wonderfully effulgent. Part of you. Begin with this retreat with your deepest prayer. Hare
Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Krishna, let us now attentively turn to Jagatarini Mataji, who will also tune us in to this special place.
Well, the first thing I'd like to say is that it's our great fortune to have come here to the side of Giriraj, because Giriraj can fulfill all our desires. And he wants to. However, he wants our desires to be of the greatest quality, not just small things, not just pebbles and stones, but actually of the size of boulders and great rocks. He wants us to want to understand our relationship with Him, to understand our relationship with Krishna, with Radha and Krishna, and He wants us all to head on home. Srila Prabhupada speaks like this so often. In fact, he named his magazine Back to Home, Back to Godhead. So the more that we can understand that Vrindavan is our home, that Giriraj is our friend, and that the purpose of everything that we're doing is meant to develop our love and cognition of this, then the more beneficial it will be for us to spend this week here by the side of Giriraj, contemplating, meditating, hearing, chanting, and trying to get these concepts or this feeling or this sensation to grow deeper and deeper into our hearts and into our consciousness. So this is my main message for myself and for all of us tonight. And I think, are we going inside, Maharaj? I have more to share with you when we get inside where it's a little bit warmer. Thank you.
Yes, Jagatarini spoke of alignment, no? Aligning our desires. Let us get out of the small mind and enter the big mind, the boulder minds, the mountain mind. What we will do now is we will all go somewhere in the back. There should be tables with flowers. And while Gaur Krishna sings a nice bhajan, let us take those flowers and offer them to our Giriraj, who you see here with the yellow turban. And the he's ready for you. He smiles. And perhaps pronounce your prayers for this retreat. It could be something like I would love to be as much as possible present, and it could go to even the higher echelons of devotional service where you are, which you are aspiring for. Whatever, say your prayers, and then please come into the warm hall where all of us will give you a little pre-taste about our respective seminars or presentations and contributions as to tune you further in and whetten your transcendental appetite. Okay, so let us be a little focused. I would suggest, yes, the flowers are, I can't see so far, but are there flowers? Can someone just look around and give me? Yes, flowers are there. So please pick them up and come here and offer your flower offering. People will offer after we offered. Good. So Bhujambhu and Jagatarini, Mataji, may I request you to take flowers? They are here. We don't have to walk all the way back. Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. You look full of anticipation. And some of you feel also it would be nice to go into the hall now. Hare Krishna. Yeah.
Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare.